With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
You can't put on without putting off. Here's the way he says it to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Okay, I'm saved. Now, how does a saved man live? The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's put off. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's to put on. So you want to put off with repentance. You want to put on with obedience. But you can't put on until you put off.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us the first half of a message entitled Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2. We continue with our study in Colossians. When the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, you may hear cheering, celebration, and the familiar phrase, out with the old and in with the new. But for the Christian, this sentiment should not be relegated to one day each year. It should be a daily priority. We must say, out with the old, putting off the old self and its sinful and earthly passions, practices, and desires, and in with the new, putting on the new self as we seek to increasingly manifest the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in accordance with our new life in Him. We must learn to cultivate a spiritual life which demonstrates a practice and priority of out with the old and in with the new. Harry, everyone knows that changing clothes means involving both putting off our old clothes and putting on clean ones. And yet, do Christians sometimes forget this simple principle when it comes to changing our spiritual clothing?
The simple answer is yes, otherwise the Apostle Paul wouldn't be warning us about it and exhorting us to put off and put on. But you got to look at the order. You can't put on without putting off. Here's the way he says it to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Okay, I'm saved. Now, how does a saved man live? The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's put off. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's to put on. So you want to put off with repentance. You want to put on with obedience. But you can't put on until you put off. You got to set aside and deny the old man in order to put on the new man for that daily life. This isn't what you're doing to earn salvation or keep salvation. This is what you're doing to enjoy your salvation and your Savior and to enjoy the ministries that He has given you to be more effective for Him. Putting off and putting on to walk in the newness of life every single day.
Easy believism, doesn't it sort of say, well, you can add on the new clothes without taking off the old?
Well, easy believism says you can believe in Jesus and it doesn't matter how you live. No, it does matter how you live. The same grace that's free in giving to you then assaults sin in your life. Easy believism is I can have Jesus and whatever I want. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or you cling to one, despise the other. Easy believism clouds what it means to come to Christ for salvation. But now, as a believer, I don't have an easy believism. I have a reliable faith whereby my eyes are fixed on Jesus. Then that means, as the song says, I lose sight of all else beside but Him, Christ the crucified. That's what it does for me. As John Newton said, when I see with joy the pardoning voice of Christ and what He paid for me on Calvary's tree, when I see that, I gladly exchange the duty of law for the joy of a son to follow the directives of a father.
If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're looking at verses 12 through 17. Here again is Harry Reeder with the first half of the message, Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2.
This is our 15th study in the book of Colossians. Join with me, if you would, in the text, Colossians 3, And look with me in our study today, verses 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but this is the word of our God. It abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may this word be taught to you. I love this text. If you'll look with me in verse 12, you'll see the word then. That means when a preacher preaches on this paragraph, he has to refer to what went before. In verses 1 through 4 of Colossians 3 is our foundation for this entire exhortation of practical Christian living. Verses 1 through 4 says this to us. Verses 1 through 4 command us to remember who we are in Christ. Here's what it says. You're risen with Christ. You died with Christ. You're risen with Christ. You're ascended with Christ. And when Christ returns, you will appear with him. Therefore, since you died with Christ, since you rose with Christ, since you're risen, ascended with Christ, since when Christ appears, you appear with him, then what does it tell us? It says, if that's the truth, and it is the truth, then don't set your mind on the earthly, set your mind and your hearts on the heavenly. Now, with a mindset on the earthly and a mindset on the heavenly, how is that manifested? It's manifested through two sermons that this is the second of them we call changing clothes. Changing the world's clothes and putting on the heaven's clothes. Saying no to worldliness. Now, not no to the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Say no to worldliness. Yes to godliness. Our minds and our hearts set on Jesus Christ. Says no to worldliness, yes to godliness, and you begin to change clothes. Now, we looked at how do you put to death worldliness and the old man. You put off by putting to death certain things. How do you put off the world's clothes? Now, you got to put off before you put on. We can't start putting on until we put off. Obedience must always be preceded by repentance. Now, how do you repent? How do you put off? He says, well, I want you to put to death some things. He says, I want you to put to death the immoral lifestyle of the world. I want you to put to death sexual immorality. I want you to put to death impurity. I want you to put to death evil desires and passions that rule you. I don't want you to be a man or a woman governed by your appetites, and particularly the appetite of sex. Let's stand in contrast to the world and have purity in Jesus Christ and know God's precious gift of sexuality belongs in the context of marriage, not outside of marriage. He says, I want you to put that off. And now what I want you to do is, and by the way, while you're putting that off, let's don't stop there, he says. Let's put off anger. Let's put off clamor. Let's put off malice. Let's put off wrath. Let's put off all obscenities. Let's just put it all off. Let's just get rid of it. And he says, let's make Christ all. Christ is in all. Christ is all. Christ is everything for us. Christ is our life. To live is Christ. Now we're ready to put on. Now we're ready to put on Christian clothing. Now we're ready to put on godliness. Putting off, now we're ready to put on. So as he brings us to put it on, he stops just one more time to tell you something else about what it means to be a Christian. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take this text. We've put it in its context. I'd like to do three things with you. I'd like to note what he says to us about what it means to be a Christian. Then I'd like for you to look with me at the Christian clothes that we're to put on. And then I would like for you to consider not only the Christian clothes, but the consequences of what happens. Not only do we take a look at what it means to be a Christian and the Christian clothes, but what is the Christian's calling? Okay. What is the Christian? Now, we've learned a lot of things already about what it means to be a Christian, but he adds three more for us. Look in verse 12. He tells you three things about what a Christian is. A Christian is chosen by God. A Christian is holy. A Christian is beloved by God. See those three things? He says, a Christian is chosen by God. Now, folks, that's just a fact. The sovereignty of God is not something we can dismiss because we have a hard time fitting it in theologically and logically and everything. It's a logical truth. It's a biblical truth. It's a fact. Do I make choices in life? Yes, I do. But my choices are instrumental. God's choices are foundational. That's why the Bible says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit. That's why the Bible says, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but upon God who has mercy. And I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Old Testament and New Testament affirm all three of these statements about God's people. First of all, they're chosen. Israel is a chosen people. How did they get to be a chosen people? Because God chose Abraham. God's grace and mercy reached down to Abraham and chose him. You and I are a chosen people. We are God's elect. That's what the word chosen is there. God's chosen, God's elect. Now, I don't understand how it all works together, but I'm just telling you, I'm responsible, but God is sovereign. So the first thing he affirms is that you are God's chosen people, not on the basis of your merits, but on the basis of his grace, sovereign grace. Second thing he says is you are holy. Now, the word holy means two things. It means pure, but it also means its fundamental meaning, the word holy, agios, the word means this. Set apart. Set apart. God chose you. Why? To set you apart. You're in the world, but not of the world. You are chosen. You are set apart. I love the way the old King James translates Titus 2. You are a peculiar people. You who were not a people have become the people of God. My goodness, isn't that true of us? We are a peculiar people. Can't get much more peculiar than us. We are set apart. We belong to God. God not only chose you, he chose you to be his special people, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. You're his holy nation. You belong to him. Third thing it says, you're not only chosen, the sovereignty of God and the purpose of God to belong to him, but the third thing it says is this, is that you are beloved by God. The love of God. And nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. The love of Christ compels you. The love of Christ constrains you. The love of Christ keeps you. God set his choice upon you. God set you aside. And God secures you with his everlasting love, that whereby you are kept unto glory. Now that's who you are. Now in light of that Christian identification, how should we live? How should we live? And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to change clothes. In fact, what I want you to do is I want you to, now that you've put off that sexual immorality, you keep putting it to death and putting it to death and putting it to death. And now that you're putting aside and putting off by putting to death anger and malice and gossip and slander and all of those sins, as you're putting that off, you don't just flee, you now fill up. Now, what do I want you to put on? And he says, this is what I want you to put on. I want you to put on five layers of clothing. While I was away praying, thinking through this, I was saying to Cindy, I'd love to illustrate this, honey. I said, what do you think if I just get up there with my pants and my shirt on and just, you know, and then put on my coat and then put on my tie? And then she said, honey, I just can't imagine that. And I said, okay, I won't do that. But here's what I want you to see. In fact, that's a picture you don't want, okay? I want you to think of, now that you've put off, now you're putting on, he says, five. We've heard of layered clothing. You're layering your clothing. Now, what do you put on first? He says, now here's the first thing I want you to put on. Look with me, if you would, down to verse 12. I want you to put on five things. I want you to, first of all, put on compassion. I want you to put on compassion. Now, in the old translation, it was called the bowels of mercy. It literally, in the original language, comes from a word that means the intestines, the gut. Where do your emotions hit you? We even use the word, I want to love on a gut level. I have a gut feeling. It's in the internals. Bowels of mercy. It means a heart of tenderness. I want you to be tender. I want you to have a heart of tenderness. I want you to have the bowels of mercy. I want you to, at a gut level, show the compassion of Jesus Christ. The second thing that you put on, now that you've got that gut level of emotional compassion that's extended outward, now he says, how does it extend? Here's how compassion is manifested. Kindness. I want you to show kindness. Remember, what is kindness? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you where this word comes from in the original language. The word kindness is translated two ways in your Bible. Sometimes it's translated kindness. Sometimes it's translated easy. Have you ever met someone that being with them is just easy? Being with God's people ought to be easy. They just kind of draw you in as they extend themselves out. Let me show you where that's. We won't turn there. Matthew 11, Jesus says, my yoke is easy. It's the same word. Kindness. It actually comes from a word that was used to describe aged wine. It's mellow. God's people are mellow, easy, extended kindness by the compassion they have. Then the third thing he says, let's keep layering. Where does that layer lead us to? That leads us to humility. Now, humility isn't when you degrade yourself. Humility is when you place yourself. This was very tough for the writers of the Bible. Did you know this word humility was really tough? Because the Greeks and the Romans did not have a word for it. Humility was considered a curse word among the Romans and the Greeks. It was a sign of weakness. But Jesus delights in it. Jesus, what does Paul tell us about Jesus? Who is the greatest example of humility? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself unto obedience. He humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. Born in a manger, not unknown parents, little place Bethlehem, rejected, scorned, beaten, hung between two criminals, buried in a borrowed grave. One statement after another of Jesus not grasping what he was entitled to, but laying it aside and in humility coming into this world. Let me give you the fourth layer of clothing. Compassion, kindness, humility. Then that leads us to the layer of gentleness. Gentleness. Another word for this is meekness. That's the people who will inherit the earth. The meek. Now, gentleness and meekness does not mean weakness. It means power under control. It means strength under wraps. My daddy told me when I was growing up, he said, son, it's not the man who wears the muscle shirt you need to worry about. It's the man with the muscles that doesn't wear a muscle shirt, but a regular shirt. He said, the man that has the muscles that wears the muscle shirt, he's showing off. And as soon as something cost him personally, his muscles will disappear. He's all about himself. The man who doesn't have to show it off but has it, that's the man you can count on. It's not about him. Folks, this is so irreverent, I think, but I don't mean for it to be, but it just struck me. Jesus could have come into this world in a muscle shirt. I mean, he could have flexed. He had all power. But he came strength under wraps. He came power under control. He came with purpose. Meekness is not weakness. Who is the meekest man in the Old Testament? It's Moses. Who was the greatest of all men, Jesus said, born? John the Baptist, who said, he must increase, I must decrease. Humility. What does Jesus love to say about himself? What does the Bible say? He was meek and lowly. Power? He is the omnipotent one. He is El Shaddai. Yet it was power under control. And then that leads to the fifth one, patience. Patience. And that's gentleness manifested in relationships. Restraint. Restraint. Restraint that can be seen. Restraint that is... How can you be patient? How can I be patient? There's only one way you can be patient. You got to believe in four things. Can I tell you the four things you got to believe in? Thank you. You got to believe in the sovereignty of God. If you think everything depends on you, you'll never be patient. You got to believe in the strength of God to carry out His sovereign purposes. You have got to believe in the justice of God. He is the one who will make all things right. And you've got to believe in the goodness of God. You got to believe in the sovereignty of God. You got to believe in the strength of God. You got to believe in the justice of God. You got to believe in the benevolence of God. That frees you to be patient. That frees you not to be vindictive or vengeful, but to rest in the Lord. You see, these things stand in such contrast to the world and its anger and its malice and its clamor. The other week, a couple in the church called me and they had some free... There was a movie theater that was giving away free tickets. And we went to see the movie. It was a family movie, free tickets. You got there, it's not only free tickets, it was free popcorn and free Cokes. I mean, other than a golf course, I was close to heaven right here. Free popcorn, free Cokes. Free movie, great seats. This was great. I was sitting there and the movie, it was so crowded and everybody taking advantage of it that it was running late. It was 15 minutes late, but they weren't going to show the preview, so you weren't going to miss anything. But the people in there, now remember, they're sitting in free seats with free popcorn and free tickets. They start. And then the manager comes in and says, folks, I'm sorry, but we're not going to show the previews. You'll get to see the movie on time anyway. We're just having to accommodate everybody. We ran out of popcorn. We ran out of this. Please be patient. This guy stood up and said, how much longer, buddy? I couldn't resist. I know I'm your pastor, but I couldn't resist. He said, how much longer? I said, how much did you pay? You see, beating within us is entitlement. Me, 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 me. And even when it comes free, me. And that old man's still within us. And we get this free gift of salvation by grace, but we still keep wanting to make it about me, 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 me. And you gotta kill that thing. And when you kill that thing, now you're ready to put on something else. And it's called kindness and patience. Winston Churchill, I was reading one commentator who gave the story about Winston Churchill. He was so quick. George Bernard Shaw wrote him and said, Mr. Churchill, here are two tickets to my newest play. If you have a friend, please use it and come. Churchill, not to be outdone, sent a note back. Mr. Shaw, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I can't be there for the opening night of your play. But if you would, send me two tickets for the second night, if you have one. You see, beating within us is that sarcastic, mean edge, isn't it? I know you have to do away with a lot of jokes, but put that off and put on kindness and compassion and all of those things. And then, kind of out of place, but you can't leave home till you put a belt on. Now skip a verse and look at the belt. Those five layers of clothing are belted together with what? Look down in verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which, literally the word is belt, which belts everything together in harmony. If you're putting clothing in the Middle East, the belt held everything together. Put on the belt of love. And then so that now that you've got these five layers of clothing, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, now belted all together with love, which brings harmony to the body of Christ.
We must put off the old self with its sinful and earthly passions, practices, and desires, and put on the new self as we seek to increasingly manifest the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in accordance with our new life in Him. Join us again next time as we continue with our study from Colossians. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2, or simply ask for message number 9374. Again, that's message number 9374. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We live in an age where the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit is either distorted or neglected. Yet His power and presence has never been more needed. In Perspective is pleased to announce the offering of Harry Reader's newest CD series, The Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective. Harry delves into the Scriptures in great detail in this two-volume set on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the witness and work of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled and anointed in the Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? These are just a few of the issues Harry raises in this detailed biblical study. The study comes in two volumes. Volume 1 contains 16 CDs and is available for $40. Volume 2 has 13 CDs and is available for $35. Order both for $75. Ask for the Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective when you contact us, or order online by going to briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. That's briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. The goal of this sermon series is that we become more and more led by the Spirit each day. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time, as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.